And it is my privilege to be the CEO of the Gardens of Golden Gate Park. We are the nonprofit partner to the San Francisco Recreation and Park Department to jointly operate this beautiful garden, the Japanese Tea Garden, as well as the Conservatory of Flowers and San Francisco Botanical Garden. We acknowledge that the Gardens of Golden Gate Park sit on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who were the original peoples of the San Francisco Peninsula. We recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland, and we affirm their sovereign rights as First Peoples. Dedicated to connecting plants, people to plants, the planet, and each other, the gardens uphold the significance of this cherished and revered place that celebrates Earth's biological diversity in support of the health and well-being of all people and the planet. We are honored to host this important gathering here at the Japanese Tea Garden in our beautiful Pagoda Plaza, where there are two descendants of ginkgo trees that survived the Hiroshima nuclear blast. These plants symbolize resilience and hope. I want to thank the Gardens Board of Directors, the staff and volunteers at the Gardens, the San Francisco Interfaith Council, the Consulate General of Japan in San Francisco, the San Francisco Office of Protocol, Mayor Lurie and the Office of the Mayor, and the many partners that made this event happen today. It truly takes all of us to make these gardens and events like this possible, so thank you. The gardens are made for moments like this. By gathering today, the gardens become more than a public place. They become a platform for education, empathy, and unity across cultures. Thank you to our partners at the San Francisco Recreation and Park Department, which is represented here today by General Manager Phil Ginsberg. Thank you, Phil, for your partnership and all the hard work you and your team here today do to make these gardens beautiful.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm used to speaking first, and I'm the one that usually says everything that everybody else was going to say, and this time Stephanie did it to me. So let me all just welcome you to this incredible tea garden. This is a special, sacred place within a special and sacred park. And today we gather, as Stephanie noted, to honor peace and resilience and the enduring spirit of hope. Right over there, 6 years ago, we planted under the vision of our Interfaith Council and the Consul General and the Consulate's Office of Japan. We planted ginkgo saplings, descendants of trees that survived Hiroshima. And as you can see, they continue to grow today. And they remind us that even from the darkest moments, life and peace can still take root. Now more than ever, in a world still shadowed by nuclear threats, these living symbols call us to unity, remembrance, and a shared commitment to a nuclear-free future. So on behalf of my staff, the Rec and Park Commission, I think you're going to hear from Penny a little bit later, but obviously on behalf of our mayor, we want to welcome everybody to this special space, and I'm so glad we've gathered for the reason that we've gathered today. Thank you.
Konnichiwa. I greet you in peace. My name is Michael Pappas, and on behalf of the San Francisco Interfaith Council, your host for this gathering, I welcome and bring to you the prayers and the greetings and the blessings of our city's 800 communities of faith and religious institutions. For 36 years, the San Francisco Interfaith Council has brought together people of different faiths to celebrate our city's rich diversity, build understanding, and serve our community. Amidst the international strife of the Second World War, on August 6th and 9th of 1945, respectively, the United States detonated two atomic bombs over the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Those aerial bombings killed between 210 and 246,000 people, most of whom were civilians. Those bombings remain the only uses of nuclear weapons in an armed conflict. The ripple effects of that travesty reverberated globally. In our state and in this city, the local Japanese-American community was scapegoated and suffered firsthand the ugliness and indignity of racial prejudice and internment. That collective experience has forever shaped the character of San Francisco's Japanese-American community. Its empathy with other communities victimized by hatred and violence, and its commitment to social justice and peace. On this, the 80th anniversary observance, we religious and civic leaders and representatives of nations gather to remember those profound events and their impact on history, but more importantly, to learn from them so that they are never again repeated. We gather in hope and we gather in solidarity as leaders committed to propagating peace in our city, our nation, and planet. In this blessing service for peace that will follow, it is our hope that your hearts and souls will be uplifted through prayer, word, and music, and inspired by the lives, work, and mission of those from whom you will hear. And like the ginkgo saplings from the great trees that survived those bombings, planted here in the Japanese tea garden, may our collective commitment to cultivating peace take deep root and blossom in our hearts. We thank our collaborating partners acknowledged in your programs for the special role they've played to bring us all together. Most importantly, we thank you, our special guests, who have honored us today by your presence. At this time, it is my distinct privilege to welcome our city's chief of protocol, Penny Coulter, to bring greetings on behalf of the city and county of San Francisco and introduce the Consul General of Japan, the Honorable Yo Osumi.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Michael, for those wonderful words and kind introduction. On behalf of Mayor Yurt Loerie and the citizens of San Francisco, it is a profound honor to join each of you as we gather on this solemn and significant occasion to mark the 80 years since the horrific bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Today, we are privileged to have with us members of the San Francisco Consular Corps. Let me briefly note the countries that are represented today. Belgium, Estonia, Georgia, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Kazakhstan, the Netherlands, Norway, Peru, Portugal, Spain, the Ukraine, the United Kingdom, and Vietnam. A powerful symbol of multilateral cooperation. Today we honor these two ginkgo trees, descendants of those that survived and endured from 1945. As these trees have taken root and grown in our city, in their centuries-long lifespan, reminds us that peace, too, must be tended for generations. While I will let others speak to the history of the trees and their importance, today I would like to briefly note the importance of holding this ceremony in San Francisco. Our city is home to the oldest and largest Japantown in the country. San Francisco has long been enriched by our Japanese community. As we honor that history, we would be remiss not to acknowledge that during World War II, as we know, the entire Japanese community of San Francisco, both citizens and foreign-born, were interned following Executive Order 9066. Families were forced into internment camps, and storefronts went dark. Yet even despite decades of injustices, the Japanese community slowly returned, rebuilt, and today embodies the definition of resilience. So, as we mourn the losses of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we honor the resilience of our Japanese neighbors, and we recommit ourselves to a future rooted in dialogue, dignity, and cooperation across nations. To close with a quote, peace is not a word, it is a behavior. It is now my honor to introduce a colleague and friend whose leadership embodies the spirit of cooperation and partnership. During his tenure, he has deepened the ties between San Francisco and Japan and grown new partnerships. Please join me in welcoming the Honorable Consul General of Japan, Yo Usumi.
Thanks, Benny, and thanks, Mike. It's so sunny day today. It's not San Francisco. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. And on behalf of the government of Japan, I'd like to thank first San Francisco Interfaith Council, Japanese American Religious Federation of San Francisco, United Religious Initiative, and San Francisco Office of Protocol for organizing this important event in such a serene but historically significant setting. So 80 years ago today, on August 6, 1945, over 100,000 people lost their lives when the atomic bomb was dropped onto Hiroshima. And just 3 days later, another atomic bomb struck Nagasaki, claiming the lives of over 70,000 people. 2 summers ago, our family went to Hiroshima and visited the Hiroshima Peace Memorial. And we are deeply moved to see the long line of visitors, people from all over the world, including the United States, who waiting patiently for hours to enter the memorial. They were determined to learn what has happened 80 years ago. Hiroshima and Nagasaki have stood up from ashes and are now lively and bustling cities again. And Japan and the US, Japanese and Americans, with other peoples, have come a long way in nurturing close and trusted friendship. Japanese Americans have risen from the difficulties, extreme difficulties, to become the venerable citizens of this country and the bridge between Japan and the United States. And there are many others. One story by which I was moved was that of the story of the State Assembly member, Catherine Stefani, former San Francisco supervisor, who is present here today. She once lived in Japan as a student and a JET English teacher, and she personally persuaded both her American father and Japanese host family father to begin reconciling themselves with their respective bitter war experiences. There have been spread of the sister city relationships after the war. And in Japantown, the landmark pagoda at Peace Plaza was built in 1968 through the donation of the city of Osaka. The gates at this very Japanese tea garden were reinstalled in 1985 by a joint effort of both cities, thanks to the initiative of the Mayor Feinstein and her counterparts in Osaka. So on this Memorial Day, as we gather together, we should renew our commitment to working together, starting from remembering the tragedies of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This is all the more urgent necessity as the verbal threat to use nuclear weapons have resurfaced in the international community very recently. But a tragedy like the one in Hiroshima must never ever happen again. That is why the presence of hibakushas or survivors from the atomic bomb is even more important. So at this moment, I'd like to recognize two hibakusha who are here today. Mr. Jack Daikele is a hibakusha and survivor of Hiroshima. Mr. Daikele, we're deeply honored by your presence here today, and your strength and dedication to peace continues to inspire us all. It is also with my humble heart, that I'd like to introduce Ms. Seiko Hashimoto. You don't need to stand, okay? She has been preaching for peace for many years, and she has served as the executive director of Japanese Minivan Society for many years, whose mission is to guard Japanese cemetery in Colma. The society has also been regularly cleaning the memorial epitaph of the Emperor Shore along the Temperate Asia Walk in the neighboring Botanical Garden, 5 minutes walk from here, where the Emperor visited in 1975, 50 years ago. So, Ms. Fujimoto, thank you for your contribution. With that note, I hope that peace will prevail continuously in the future. Thank you very much.
My name is William Swing, and this is a ginkgo leaf. Ginkgo leaf as a symbol. Just before the year 1200 AD, some Chinese monks brought ginkgo trees to Japan, where they flourished until 1945. The first atomic bomb wiped out all ginkgo trees in Hiroshima, except a few, just a few. From those few remaining saplings, saplings were brought to San Francisco in 2015 by Tomoko Watanabe, a member of the United Religions Initiative. And when those ginkgo trees grew big enough, on September the 20th, 2019, in the presence of the mayor of San Francisco, the consul general of Japan, the chief of protocol of San Francisco, they were planted here in honor of the Honorable George Shultz and his wife, Charlotte Shultz. After that, George got in touch with his friend Mikhail Gorbachev, former president of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. These two giants in the realm of nuclear weapons abolition wanted their legacy to extend to future generations. So the Shultz-Gorbachev Youth Award was established by the United Religions Initiative. By the way, when on George's 100th birthday, the day he turned 100, he presented the first youth award of Voices for a World Free of Nuclear Weapons. And today I have the honor of presenting the sixth such award. Meanwhile, far away in Pakistan, a young woman was so concerned about the nuclear bomb threat to Pakistan and India that she began to mobilize opposition among young people in both countries. She got over 4,000 young people to demonstrate and to be advocates. From there, her life took on a clear path to multiple avenues of advocacy. And more recently, she is pursuing graduate studies at Princeton University to prepare for a career in matters linked to the elimination of nuclear weapons. Her name is Haneen Khalid. And Haneen, if you'd come forward right now. This is the Voices Youth Award, August 6th, 2025, presented to Haneen Khalil, and it is in honor of the nuclear abolition legacy of President Mikhail Gorbachev, USSR, and Secretary of State George Shultz. It's our honor to present it to you. Thank you. And you don't know how to do that. Let me hold it for you.
Oh, great.
Okay, and then if you would say some words, that would be great.
Well, that's a tough story to follow. So I'm just going to say a few words of thanks. I'm very grateful to be here today and get to share this moment with all of you. Thank you all for coming out, for making it possible, to all those who made it possible for us to be here together. For a somber moment and a sacred moment, and also a moment that is so full of life and so full of promise. I want to thank Bishop Swing and Voices and URI for the award, and also for their mentorship and their leadership that makes it possible for me and other young people like me to step up and take our place in the world and on the nuclear issue. I accept this award, but really I offer it forward to all of these voices, to all young people who resist fear and who have dreams of a hopeful future and a living future, to those who gave their lives in Japan and in other parts of the world so that we may remember, and we may take responsibility, and we may carve a living future. Thank you all for being here today and for making it possible to receive this moment and this message, and in the shade of the ginkgo trees, to offer it forward for our world and for our shared future. Thank you.
I'll carry this with you.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Elaine Donlin from the Buddhist Church of San Francisco, and on behalf of the Japanese American Religious Federation, affectionately known as JARF, which is an interfaith consortium founded in 1948 to facilitate collaboration and understanding between Christian, Buddhist, and independent traditions in the Japantown community of San Francisco, we are grateful to be here today to remember the lives lost in the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all the suffering they endured, as well as the pain and suffering endured for many, many, many years after. Today, we are honored to join the Hibakusha in advocating for world peace and nuclear disarmament. And today, we express hope for a future free from violence and conflict, continuing our commitment to seek love over hate, peace over war, valuing the dignity and preciousness of all life. I'd like to share a brief chant, Buddhist chant, called Sambujo, the three callings or invitations. The first line invites boundless wisdom and compassion to guide us. The second line invites Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha of peace and nonviolence, to inspire us. And the third line invites all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to support us in our quest for peace. The last line, we ask this as we offer flowers of welcome in this beautiful garden. Bujo mida nyorai nyudo Jo Bujo Shaka Nyorai Nyudo Jo
My name is Grace Kaori Suzuki, representing the Christian Coalition of JARF. Hear these words from the Christian scripture in the Gospel of Luke. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. The scripture tells us that God, our maker, creator, still has compassion on us, even when we veer from the vision of peace that God gives us. It promises that the dawn from heaven will break upon us who are sitting in darkness and in death, and God will guide us, our maker will guide us on the path of peace once again. Would you please pray with me? God of our weary years and our silent tears, this day of solemn remembrance, we remember the destruction wrought by the dropping of the atomic bombs in Japan, and hear the voices of the victims, both deceased and living, crying out, and we pray, never again. Yet 80 long years since witnessing the dreadful cost of nuclear war, we are still divided, still at risk, still unwilling to lay aside weapons of mass destruction, and we are still afraid. We confess to you, God of peace, our ongoing participation in cultures of death, in the ways we benefit from the military might and the threat of nuclear destruction, in our failure to resolve simmering disputes and build a future for all children free from fear. Forgive, O loving God, the failure of your children that is represented in all war. In your loving mercy, give our failure, work with our failure to make peace with one another. Grant pardon and turn us from our ambition, belligerence, falsehood, suspicion, arrogance, animosity, and terror, which contribute to war's progress. We thank you for those who even now work for peace and healing through diplomacy, and we praise your name for the gifts of generosity, healing, courage, wisdom, and love, which are daily demonstrated by those who aid people affected by the aftermath of war. We ask that you grant them strength. Triune God, grant us strength, mercy, and peace. The strength of your love that conquers fear and evil. The mercy of your Son, who rebuked the way of violence by laying down his own life. And the peace of your Spirit, beyond our divisions, to bind us together as one family in your kingdom of mercy and peace. God, as promised in the scriptures, guide our feet into the way of peace, and with your help, make us instruments of your peace. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Joanne Tolosa, Senior Minister of the Konko Church of San Francisco, and I represent the Independent Federation of the Japanese American Religious Federation. In our faith tradition, we begin our services and prayers with four sincere claps together. And as we know, or may not know, one hand alone cannot make a clapping sound. It takes two hands to make a clapping sound. So symbolically representing our working together with our divine parent in us, with our ancestral spirits in us, and with each other, please join me in clapping sincerely four times together. Let us please bow our heads for the divine main prayer. Dear divine parent of the universe, known by many other sacred names, images, founders, teachings, and practices, we deeply thank you for your unconditional love and infinite blessings, which allows us to sustain our precious gift of life. This afternoon, we are grateful to come together here in the Golden Gate Park Hagiwara Japanese Tea Garden for this blessing service for peace, commemorating the special 80th anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, in August of 1945. We pray for the hundreds of thousands of precious lives devastatingly lost, the survivors, hibakusha, who had to live with various life-threatening illnesses, as well as physical and emotional scars of shame and discrimination. May they and the initial lives lost have eternal peace and happiness. May survivors, their descendants, and the generations to come live in a world free of the use of nuclear weapons. Dear Divine Universal Parent, please guide us all on Earth to choose the disarmament and non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, and choose a life of peace and harmony throughout the world. May we all change our ways to reflect your love in all we do. Please bless us all, that peace begins and remains in our own hearts and extends out to those around us to reach each other's heart globally. Please bow your heads to receive the purification rite to cleanse our hearts and minds and let go of negative thoughts and emotions. Thank you. May we choose to embrace a heart of compassion, love, peace, and joy. Thank you. Four sincere claps together to end the service.
This brings to a close today's observance, but really it's just the beginning. There was a Spanish philosopher, Spanish-American philosopher of the early 1900s, who said something that was repeated at the end of the Second World War by Winston Churchill, and that was, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Today, I hope that we've given you a gift to reflect upon and to continue in your resolve to be peacemakers. Together, I believe that we can make a difference. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. In just a moment, I'm going to invite our photographer, Bill Wilson, to take a photo of the participants, and they will, with great reverence afterwards, come by and witness the ginkgo trees. And we are going to leave you not just with memories, but thanks to the Office of Protocol, hospitality, and a gift. The gift is a packet of seeds, of ginkgo seeds, that you can plant in your own gardens as you are peacemakers. And so with that, once the photography is taken and the participants have gone and passed by the ginkgo tree, we would invite each of you row by row to do the same and to enjoy the hospitality of the tea garden, as well as to pick up your gift of ginkgo seeds. Thank you, and God bless you.